no scraping. Sheet of ice.
Ah, does that sound like you scraping away the ice? Lots of storms, cold temperatures all over the Midwest, parts of the Southeast, in the Northeast. If you're traveling, be very, very careful, my friends. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So holiday travel is going to be crazy and frantic and a little bit on the wild side. Not to dive too incredibly deep on this because, listen, we know that there's a cool freeze going out there, and I hope that it dissipates. If you are one of the people that have to travel through this, there are people that don't have power. There are people that are stuck waiting to get on flights because they were canceled. There are people that are dealing with temperatures that feel like it's 45 below zero, which to me is something I can even wrap my brain around. I don't think as cold as I've been and in some cold areas like Toledo, Ohio, that was like the frozen tundra, I don't think I've ever felt, I can safely say I don't think I've ever felt 45 below zero. I cannot imagine what that's like. So in the Northeast, they get some hot. It's up to 70 over the weekend. Now it's going to zoom back down to cold. There's going to be like a 50 degree swing there in some cases, which is crazy. And then in the Southeast, massive rain in Georgia and South Carolina, in the Mid-Atlantic area, some brutal rain, and that is starting to clear up. And in the Midwest, ice, baby, ice. You heard that scraping, and it can get very dangerous. It's one thing to have to de-ice your car. It's another to have to drive somewhere, deal with it, and deal with those crazy roads. And, hey, let's not leave out the Pacific Northwest. They've got some storms out there, too, in the mountain areas. They're talking about 12 inches of snow in some cases and higher elevated places, 12 inches of snow. Snow is great when you can stay inside. It looks like a picture postcard. You look outside, you got a fire going. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Look at those snowflakes. Or if you're in a resort area or you live in a place where you can ski or snowmobile or sled and you go out, you play around in the stuff, and then boom, you're back inside. But when you have to get somewhere and you got that blowing snow, whoo, that is nasty. Very tough to deal with. So pretty much everybody has skedaddled from the hill because that's it. I mean, certainly at the tail end of last week, bye-bye Senate, the House went to their nooks and crannies too, back to their families. And then they'll come back again as we kick into 2014. And what is it that we want to see from this Congress? I mean, is there anything that can move the needle forward unlike it did last year? Because really we were mired in mediocrity. And what is it that's going to change that's going to make 2014 different? One thing is the midterm elections. And we'll see how the closing down of the government, the effects of Obamacare, some who say positive, some who say negative, what that has on the numbers in Congress, and if some D's move to an R, or even vice versa. But with all the fumbling that's going on with health care, I would think this could fall in favor of the Republicans, who might be in some of those tight, close races come the midterms, because you've got moving deadlines, you have these crazy, wild, quick fixes, and right from the rollout, there were problems with affordable health care and lots of confusion, which is the biggest piece of legislation for the president, and we're already beyond, okay, boom, it didn't work in October and paid more money to tweak it, but I think that the problems of the changing of the dates, who's uninsured, the extension, 24-hour extension until Christmas Eve, signing up for coverage starting January 1st, all that has confused people. Yeah, it's got to be the simplest route. If you're going to have health care and you're going to have people that have an or else attached to it, if you don't get health care, you're going to get fined by the IRS. So now you feel as though you're going back and forth if you can afford it. You go to healthcare.gov, and then you can't get through, and the whole frustration of all of that. And then the moving, like I said, the moving parts of this, the moving deadlines and everything else. The drop-dead date for the fines isn't until March 31st. March 31st. And I have a feeling that there's going to be problems with small businesses, and there's going to be problems with going into 2014 with some employers who are going to try their best to make it happen, but they're going to find that they're caught up in this whole exchange thing. We'll see. I don't see the fumbling stopping anytime soon. Coming up on This Hour of America tonight, we're going to talk to Project 21's Derek Green about how we're getting it wrong when it comes to Christmas. You know, I don't understand this whole war on Christmas thing. Some people would say, you know, I always say on this show, I invite everyone's opinions. I don't care if you're left of left or right of right. And some people would say, well, that's nonsense. That's Fox News. They trump that up. People are making up stories about that there's a war on Christmas. But I think there's something to it because some of these things are stupid. Some of these nativity wars, I don't get. Not when you've had a part of history, this nativity scene that's innocuous in the middle of a town somewhere that some people go and they see and they like it and they are Christians and they take pictures or that kind of thing and it means something to them. Other people blow by it because they could care less, but it's a part of what a town does and it doesn't offend the people who blow by it. At least growing up, that's the way I perceived it. Growing up with Jewish people, growing up with people of other religions, growing up, I'm sure, with people who didn't believe in God. And then, of course, growing up with different kinds of Christians, this didn't seem to be the tug of war that we had in southern New Jersey. Now, that's all we seem to see, that, oh my gosh, that's offensive. We can't say this in school. We can't have a Christmas party in school. It has to be a holiday party. We can't even mention Christmas is silly. And I mean, this just shows you. When the neighborhood that I grew up in when I was a kid, I wanted a Hanukkah bush and my best friend wanted a Christmas tree. Why? Because she was Jewish, I was Catholic, grew up Catholic, and so we would talk about, oh, well, we get Christmas trees, we get Hanukkah. So we're little kids, naturally we're curious, and my mother said it was rather cute, and of course it leads to a discussion about different religions. But even people who didn't have a religion, to the best of my knowledge, viewing at this from younger eyes, I don't remember big conflicts about it. I don't remember big brouhahas over somebody having a Christian display or somebody having a menorah or somebody having something else. And we just continue to go down this crazy town path. So you wonder where it leads. I mean, does it mean that all references to nativities and all that stuff eventually is completely sucked out of the culture, or is that too far to the other side? I mean, somewhere it has to stop. So anyway, Derek Green has an interesting take. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Next, however, we're going to check the mailbag. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
The Christmas controversy, by the way, you can do that. I think it's ridiculous. I don't get it. But there's a lot of things I don't get. Maybe I'm more like a dinosaur. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Pete in Texas. Hey, Pete, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, pole princess from the Slavic Master.
I love that you say that. That was nice. Thanks.
Oh, it is so good to talk to you. Hey, do you know why Brady's doing so lousy now? It is because he traded Welker off to his buddy Manning.
Oh, no kidding. And Wes Welker is such a huge weapon, especially early going for the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
They're going to do it. They're going to take it all the way.
You think so? You think that if it comes down to Seattle and Denver, you think they beat Seattle?
Yeah.
I do too. I think no matter what everybody says about Seattle and, Peyton Manning and playoff games and the weather, forget it. I don't think he gets that far and they collapse. It's a close, might be a close game, but he's going to win it.
Yeah, you're not going to take the ball, Welker. No. But anyway, I just thought I'd wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You too.
We'll talk to you Thursday going into Friday.
Thursday going into Friday. Nail the score. You want to make sure you're there, brother. It could be your time. You could win.
Sweet. I'm out. Later.
Bye-bye. All right, and who knows what that game is? It'll be an embarrassment of riches if you win. RC in Illinois. RC, how cold is it where you are right now? Please tell me.
Don't remind me. I tell you what, the Christmas bulbs are froze up. They can't even light up.
Oh, that's bad.
Anyway, Merry Christmas to y'all. Matt sounds good. So that's a nice deal. Don't want him to be angry.
It is a nice deal because all his friends are in town, like from as far away as Hawaii. And so, you know, when you're working and your friends are there, man, that's kind of tough. You're thinking about your posse out there, and you probably want to be hanging with them.
Oh, he'll get there soon enough. Okay.
That's true.
You offered up best gifts and the best ones you got and what you gave away.
Yeah.
My best gift that I ever received was when I was 6 years old. It was a bicycle. Started me off on the road to freedom and independence and got me my first job. I became a paper boy, delivering papers in the morning in Northern California. And some days you didn't want to get out of that bed. People think that, California anywhere is always just so warm. Well, sorry, no.
And, yeah, you grew up in Northern California. Where in Northern California?
A little town called Pittsburgh, Shawnee East Bay. You got Walnut Creek, Antioch.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know where you're talking about. That's what they call like the peninsula area, right?
No, that's the east. Well, it's the East Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's where the big rivers all join and stuff like that. But like I
it's pretty.
Bicycle took me all over, and that was great. Best gift. I got two things. One, I put an engagement ring in a sock at Christmas time. And my wife-to-be wouldn't dig enough in that sock. So I said, well, if she don't want it, if she don't find it, she's not going to get it. We had to go to an aunt and uncle's mine, and their thing was, bring your socks over. Because she was going to reload. She said, well, I'll be down dinner and do that. Well, she looked in this sock, and she said, Jesus, criminy, what is this? So she came downstairs and said, what's that in the bottom? And I said, well, if she don't find it, she doesn't get it. Well, my aunt kind of facilitated things, and she got it. So it was kind of a bigger celebration than we needed. And then one night I was working in Northern California again. In South City, we had a couple of facilities, and we spent 2 weeks buying Christmas trees for the office. And we had a fake tree at home, and I said, well, I don't want that. Normally, we'd have time to go out and chop down our own tree. There's a tree farm right down the place where we live. So I went into this tree stand up locally and said, well, let's get a tree. It's night before Christmas Eve. And lo and behold, I'm buying this tree and all that stuff, and I had money. And I'm looking over here, and I can hear two little kids not complaining, but, Mama, we want this. Well, she didn't have any money. So I said to the guy, I said, well, I'm going over to this store, and then we'll put the tree on top of the car and get me out of here. And so I said, in the meantime, you get them whatever they want. The guy made me a wreath, which I loved, and stuff like that, and went over and bought light bulbs and bulbs and stuff like that. I said, you give her everything you want, she wants. And he did. He said, well, I think Santa's going to come my way, too. I said, good.
Aww.
And the whole thing about it was, he's going to help her, too. He's going to give her a big discount on whatever tree she wanted. And so I said, charge that up. I said, I'm going to put $100 down at the bottom of that. I said, and I want you to give her some cash. Santa helps cover the tree. I want her to have money. So the mistake I made was, because I didn't want her knowing I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
All she thought I was doing was coming back and get that wreath. Well, she saw me lay the lights and stuff down there. So as I'm saying goodbye to this gentleman, shaking his hand, wishing him a Merry Christmas, she realized once she got up there what had happened. So it was about 3 weeks later, I'm in a local convenience store, and lo and behold, this lady comes up. I said, you don't have to say anything to me. Santa did that. In the store.
Wow. How cool is that?
That's probably one of the best gifts I've ever given. And I don't have the weeds that I used to have, but just returned it back just the other day. Two little kids didn't have enough. I just said, told the lady at the counter, I said, put whatever they want on. They weren't going back. They were going up to set it on a register. Said, go get what you want. I'll take care of it. It isn't much. You know, the whole thing for those people with probably $80. God. Mm-hmm. Can't afford $80 to do that. Yeah. The tree and the $80 from this year last me for years.
Right.
Because it's feeling you yet.
Yep.
I wish all your listeners out there, those that got, give a little bit. Those that don't, pray and wait for the angels or Santa Claus.
Yeah. What a great story. What a great sentiment. I am so glad you shared that with us.
Well, thank you. I've spoken long enough. And as far as all these boo-hooers, naysayers, and ACLU people who want to quell anything to do, I don't care if you're Jewish, menorahs, whatever, they can kiss my patoot. Merry Christmas to all of you out there, folks.
Perfect way to end this. RC, what a great story. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much for sharing that. And, you know, speaking of the whole Christmas thing, as I mentioned, we're going to talk with Derek Green about what's the deal with Christmas and nativity scenes, and, you know, that keeps popping up in different areas, and it's happening in the schools, and then the schools get nervous because people don't want to get sued, and you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, RC hit on something that's interesting. He's right. That's that whole feeling of giving, and that people say the more you give anyway, the more that comes back to you. But he mentioned that how that carried him around for years, and that meant much more than anything materialistic. Isn't that interesting? And he just made her Christmas, and probably beyond Christmas. So what a great story. Then he said the thing about the bicycle, and I was thinking about this. How many bicycles did I get over the course of my childhood? I always wanted the banana bike. Remember the banana bikes with the big, they called them sissy bars? I wanted the sissy bar on it. But then that bar started to become a pain, so that was a mistake. Stay with us, Derek Green on the flip side.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on big pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and everything else in between. I don't understand why it seems to be a sin to talk about Christmas, or more importantly, what is the deal about nativity scenes and then having them protest over having nativity scenes that have been around forever in certain towns and areas. Santa Monica was one of the places where they got hit hard by this last year, and then it's a protest about removing the nativity scenes federally, and then local governments get involved, and you know, we see all kinds of crazy bannings and whatnot. It really is like a war on Christmas. I mean, it is a war on Christmas, and it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. I don't think it's fear-mongering or we're making this up, because I'm seeing it. I saw it in my own hometown of Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I just don't get it. Derek Green is in our virtual green room, and Derek, of course, with Project 21. Derek, first of all, Merry Christmas and everything else. I just don't understand how we've got this war on Christmas going, but it's been brewing for a while, and I don't think it's a made-up deal. Do you?
I don't. Merry Christmas to you as well. I don't think it's a made-up thing, because it seems to me that the atheists and those people who advocate, you know, aggressively advocate a separation of church and state, or a separation from religious influence in government, you know, make their appeals and are the most aggressive during the Christmas season. They don't do these type of things throughout the year. Sometimes some of them will pop up around Easter, but they save their vitriol for the Christmas season, specifically to try to, in my opinion, kind of insult and offend religious sensibilities, specifically Christians. I don't understand why that is. I would think that if atheists or atheism or specifically atheists, if they had some sort of grudge about religious oppression, that might, you know, be valid. But the tactics in which they use, that they employ, and again, the type of aggressive behavior that they use, they're not trying to do anything but insult religious people. And I think it's wrong, and I think they do a disservice to those people who are atheists but who don't, you know, aren't activists in the way that they're behaving. So I think that some atheists are being represented in the wrong way. But overall, I think that this is a war on Christmas, and I think with all the evidence, it's pretty difficult to deny that.
Yeah, Derek, what's some of the things that you've seen? And you're in California, and I think I threw in there Santa Monica. There was a big brouhaha about the nativity scene that's been around forever in Santa Monica last year, and even the year before they were starting to talk about that and having to take it down. And it's very innocuous, frankly, and if you can enjoy it walking by, but if you didn't like it or it bothered you, I don't see how it would bother you that much, because it's not in your face, if you know what I mean.
That's right. And some of the things that I've seen, more or less, it's just the threats of litigation against, you know, schools and things of that nature to try to intimidate people into not even having put the nativity scenes up, because they just simply can't afford the legal costs associated with defending it. So it's kind of intimidation in that respect. But what I've seen more and more throughout this last several years is, you know, atheists trying to erect, you know, certain banners and symbolisms that draw attention away from nativity scenes and onto them. And I find that very striking, because for so long, atheists, you know, by their very nomenclature, are people who don't profess a belief in God. They don't profess a belief in the religious systems that set up to guide people's moral lives as they relate to God. But yet here we find them acting as if they're some sort of oppressed religious group that deserves the same amount of attention during the Christmas season as Christians do with the nativity, or with, you know, Jewish believers with the menorah. So I find that being the increasing the tactic that's being used more and more, is to you know, erect symbolisms like a big A, you know, that denotes atheism, to draw attention to them, or you know, for example, the commercial ad in Times Square, you know, that nobody needs Christ in Christmas. These are type of things that are just trying to draw negative attention toward them, rather than just going on about their lives, you know, not believing in God.
But to your point in the beginning, though, don't you think this hurts people who are atheists, frankly, and just want to be left alone, and they're living their lives, and what their belief system is what their belief system is? But isn't this sort of pushing that to the forefront in a way I think a lot of people that would be atheists really wouldn't want to be involved in?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, and I don't think that I'm too off with this, and if I am, please correct me, but I think that what these atheist activists are doing are the same thing that homosexual activists are doing with the redefinition of marriage. What they're doing is castigating and drawing a big stereotype on all homosexuals, and some homosexuals don't want to get married, and they want nothing to do with the tactics associated with, you know, the aggressive homosexual quote-unquote lobby, but they're smeared because of it. I think the same thing is happening with atheists. I think some atheists just want to be left alone, literally left alone with religious talk, but because of the activism associated with it, they're being categorized, and I would say unfairly slandered with this type of label.
How intimidating do you think this is for the schools? You mentioned the schools, because they don't want to get involved in any kind of lawsuits or problems. They don't want to be sued for that. They don't want to go through the court system. And I see that a lot of school districts will, frankly, back down. And I think that's scary.
Right. It is scary. And it's, in again, because of the loose interpretation of that First Amendment. You know, I think that they say, yes, it may be an infringement of the First Amendment, so let's not, you know, have the nativity scene, whether it's a prop or whether it's people out there standing out there for several hours. Let's just not do it, because they don't want to get caught up in the lawsuits. And what I've noticed is that with a lot of school districts losing money, you know, these districts just can't afford to take money that would otherwise go to the classroom and put it into lawyers defending, you know, the beauty of having a nativity on public property. So I think that kind of intimidation is working, unfortunately, and I think that it's going to be up to, you know, people who enjoy the Christmas season, not necessarily, they don't have to be Christian, they don't have to be religious in nature, but they enjoy that type of decoration or religious symbolism with Christmas. They have to kind of step up and say, listen, you know, you're out of line, and this is ruining our culture. Reasons, ways we can see, and ways that we won't be able to see for another 5 or 10 years. So let's stop it. And until that, we as a culture kind of step up to those who are doing the intimidation and to the bullying, we're going to see more of this continue.
Yeah, I guess that would be one of your biggest fears. What's your other fear, Derek, that could happen if we just keep continuing down this path? Will we see more Christmas celebrations and Christmas things in town squares and nativity scenes just frankly disappear?
I think so, and I think what will also happen is that people will start to think that religion is supposed to be a private thing rather than a personal thing. So not only will we not see as many religious decorations, we've already seen it over the last 15 years. Now we can't even say Merry Christmas. People are afraid to say Merry Christmas. Now we have to say Happy Holidays. So we're seeing these type of things, and now what will end up happening even more is that Christians will then, you know, as we've seen again over the last 10, 15 years, people can't wear crosses to work because some people are offended. People can't say God bless because some other people may be offended. And so everything associated with an outward form of religiosity, whether it's embodying the gospel of Jesus or just merely wishing somebody the blessings of God, is going to be intimidated and pushed into silence. And I think that once, you know, all kind of identifiable forms of a religious value system, specifically Christianity, are silenced, I think there's going to be some devastating effects associated with what comes in that vacuum.
Yeah, do you think part of this is because also that atheists feel threatened or feel like, you know, all of a sudden they want to put Christians on the spot, like, okay, we'll defend your beliefs then because we don't believe in God. We think he's the boogeyman, or we don't see why it has to be thrown in our face. Do you think that there really is a fear, or the fact that they're threatened, and that's why all of a sudden this is really ramped up in the last 5 or 10 years?
No, I don't think that they're threatened, because I think that if atheism as a belief system could stand upon its own intellectual and moral merits, they wouldn't have to resort to tactics in which we've seen them do. You know, they would be open to discussion and dialogue, not just a monologue of tolerance and diversity on their terms. You know, they wouldn't wait to Christmas time or Easter to try to push this in the face of religious believers. They would try to hold discussions and try to convince people that atheism isn't so bad of a religious or a belief system. So, you know, give it a try. But they don't do things like that. So I don't think that they're threatened. I just think that they are bullies. And I think that their form is intimidation. It's aggressive. I think it's uncivil. But it's in no way. And keep in mind, it's just toward Christians.
Mm-hmm.
These cowards never, ever, ever go and behave the way they do to Christians, to Muslims. You know, I've always said it's so much easier to bully and intimidate people whose central tenets are turn the other cheek and love thy neighbor rather than, you know, kill the infidel or strike fear in the hearts of the unbeliever. You know, you draw a picture of Muhammad, the author goes into hiding for 2 years. You know, this is the type of thing that we see. And so I think that Christians have to rightly interpret turn the other cheek. You have two cheeks, that's it. It's okay to stand up and defend your belief system in a way that I think does justice not only to Christians, but it does justice to, you know, democracy, liberty, and things of that nature. So I definitely don't think that atheists are you know, being marginalized, some religiously marginalized. I think that they're out on the attack.
Yeah, touche. I agree with you. Absolutely. Project 21's Derek Green. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well.
Thanks, Derek.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pillow, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pillow. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
America Tonight. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to check the mail. We're going to go to the mailbag in just a minute. But I mentioned that Capitol Hill is cleared out. Democrats, Republicans, the House, Senate left late last week on those vocations. What vocation? On those vacations. And they'll be back 2014, and there is a lot to tackle when we head into the new year. Let's hope that we can get something done of significance this time around. Less than 60 laws last time. Not that I'm about making laws that have no meaning, but for goodness sake, if there's over 5,000 bills and only 50-some become laws, there's something wrong with the system. And part of it, I think, is organizational and structure. It would take a crane to rip it apart, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Maybe we'll start to see a few little changes, some things that have been mentioned that people like Rand Paul ran on, the fact that why don't we have a reading time for bills? Then that way, when you have legislation you're not familiar with, like the Affordable Health Care Act, because there's just too many pages to it, instead of having aides and other people break it down, actually let the lawmaker look at it first and then let other people comb through it. All right, on that, we're going to move to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one, thank you, from Andrew, listening to us in Illinois. And Andrew says, hi, Kate, wishing you and yours a very happy, merry Christmas and a terrific new year. If you were to look ahead and look at the Middle East, what would you say the most important thing will happen next year in the Middle East? Well, actually, there's two of them, but since you are limiting me to one, it's what happens in Iran. So the sanctions, poof, were lifted in Geneva. We gave them a pass. They were starting to feel squeezed. Rouhani is the new president of Iran, trying to make nice in the sandbox when he comes to the UN in New York, trying to develop a relationship with the United States. But what does that mean in the end? Will there be assembling of a nuclear weapon? And here's the problem I have. Do we need to tell everybody what they can and cannot do? No. Do we need more nuclear warheads floating around, especially when you have people who want to stamp out Western ways or have a country that likes revolution? I would say you want to keep Iran in your sights. So let's see what happens when we hit the six-month period and how that trends, what the access is. To me, that's the play and always has been the play in the Middle East. Here's one from Cliff. He says, happy to everybody with America tonight, Matt and Nate as well. I promise my resolution is to actually call you more times in the new year. I've called the show, but it's been a very, very long time. I also pledge to be nicer to my fellow Democrats. I've been pretty rough on them. I used to be a Republican, decided the party was too extreme for me, jumped to the other side, now I've decided that the Democrats are too lame for me. I know you used to talk about a third party. I'm in. Start a third party. I think that's the party I need. All right, very clever. I still think we need a third party. How do you break the logjam? How do you make sense of it all? How do you have more efficient federal government or the best efficiency you can get? Nothing's 100% perfect, but geez, can we shoot a little better? I'd rather hit the target a little closer than we're hitting it now. We're not even on the bullseye anywhere. We're off and we're into the fence in the background. That's how off the mark we are, I think. So, yes, I am for a third party if it makes sense, if it has serious momentum, and it's a party of common sense. Might be difficult to have a party of common sense because the way things work now, like anything else, government starts off, it grows, more dysfunction happens, power corrupts, all that sort of thing. You need committees, you need people to drill down information, and then you have to look to the people that you want to be on committee. So it becomes the whole cronyism thing, and it's tough to break that up. I mean, we're talking hundreds of years of this, but really in recent times, we've seen it that it's in this past decade that it's been the worst that we've ever seen it. You just go back and you read as much history as you can, and you get a sense of what other administrations were like, and they still had their problems and naysayers and bad decisions and all of that. Is it the population growth? Is it the world we live in? Is it a combination of all of that? I think it's some lame people that have been elected that are just playing the game, and we need to smash that game somehow. Here's one from Kelly who says, Kate, thanks for the shows this year. I listened whenever I could. I have a mixed schedule, so sometimes I'm on late, sometimes I'm on early. When I'm on the third shift, I am definitely listening. I've been listening to what you've been talking about with Obamacare, and I appreciate the fact that you've looked at all sides of this. I've heard some people on your show that support it and give you reasons why, and I've heard people who detract from it and give you reasons why. I think you mentioned it's an individual thing. I agree. It's going to be different for every single person with a lot of moving parts. But I think the thing that's crazy is the administration of it. I don't care what your politics are. It is poorly administrated. There is no doubt about that. If you didn't have a lot of time on your hands and you couldn't really take your time trying to figure it out, it might be pretty confusing as to picking a plan, although it's supposed to be easy. Maybe this is just the beginning kinks, and let's hope it all works out in the end. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, too. Well, of course, am I wishing that the affordable health care fails? No. And shame on you if you're wishing that. I mean, let's face it, even if you are a hardcore conservative and you are no fan of this president's or what's happened so far at Pennsylvania Avenue, would you be willing to concede if something was conceptualized and then it was really a kick-butt mandate that just worked and we were wrong? Hey, I would be right there with you, but I don't see it, because all I see is that people are talking about the things that they're not getting, the things that are being taken away, and the fact that they're paying more money for things being taken away. So I guess if you're on the really, really lower end of the scale, and now you have health care, but then my question becomes, how are you paying for it, and what does that add up to? And then if you're in between where you really aren't making a lot of money, you're just barely making it, you're getting crushed by the increase that you have to pay in health care, so that seems very unfair. And that is because the middle class is disappearing as well. So what could have been affordable 25 years ago is not affordable now. And that's the problem with Obamacare. It's really that middle segment that's getting squeezed the most, and they can't afford it, especially with kids. A bigger family, more hardships, more money. You have to have kids covered. And then what happens if you don't? What is the penalty? The penalty is higher for that many more people. And it just becomes a circular thing. How much of your income? Write this on paper. Here's something horrific. Write down auto insurance, health insurance, homeowners insurance, other things that you have, things that are insured, pet insurance, whatever you have. And add that up and see how much of your budget is being paid toward insurance. I bet it's pretty high. I bet it's a pretty big chunk of change. And this is where it comes in. When you have to pay higher more money for the premiums, that's what's so crippling to so many people. So I certainly feel ya. Thanks so much for sending me your thoughts. You can do it too as well if you just tuned in. All you have to do is send me whatever it is you're thinking about to americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you're in just like that.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.